So if you feel like you've fallen into a rut of I can't be bothered cooking and then defaulting to throwing together something on toast, then this episode is for you. Tune in to discover how Chris went from working really long hours and feeling like she couldn't be bothered and getting complaints from her husband like, I'm a bit sick of this, do we have to have this again? To actually looking forward to getting into the kitchen after she clocks off at night and her husband actually enjoying her cooking again and saying things like, this one's a keeper, I like this one, this is really good, then this episode's for you. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Welcome, Chris. So thanks for organizing to come and have a chat about your time with the 21-day Competent Cook Challenge. So just let's cast your mind back to before you joined the challenge. Like, what was your relationship with cooking like back then?
I'd probably say, well, my husband and I are empty nesters. So it's really easy to fall in the rut of I can't be bothered cooking. I'd be saying, look, don't worry too much. And just, you know, throwing together something that's, you know, toast and. The back end of last year, I was working some ridiculous hours. So cooking became whatever I could throw together as quickly as possible. I'd lost the joy of it. Getting into the kitchen had really become a chore. It was one more thing I had to do at the end of a, you know, a really long day and just couldn't be bothered. So the dishes I was cooking were sort of the same ones. We'd be stuck in a rut. If I did venture off the tried and true muscle memory type things, it would be to do something from a recipe because I'd lost the confidence. I should say my sister is a chef. My mum made her living from cooking. She ran a cafe. And my gran also ran a pub back in the 50s and did all the counter meals. So I come from three generations of women who made their money cooking. So by comparison, I've always felt like I'm the...
It's a bit inadequate compared to them.
Yeah. And I've got a girlfriend who's an amazing cook, and she'll just invite you over at the drop of a hat because she spent the whole afternoon cooking and suddenly goes, I've got all this food, I've got to feed people. And I'd kind of gotten into that frame of mind where, you know what, I'm just putting meals on the table for Col and I, just something that's half nutritious or just fills your belly so you don't go to bed hungry. And I'd lost that joy of spending the afternoon in the kitchen and really enjoying it. I'd tried doing a couple of online cooking things, but I just ended up watching the Zoom things and never actually cooking anything out of it, going, well, that was interesting and maybe it could, but never getting around to it. And, yeah, this challenge was different in that it made me have to. It shifted me from, I could do that to, hey, I actually did that. You held us accountable in a way that meant I got something out of it. It wasn't just another, you know, throw some money at it. And even to some extent, the fact that there was the money back offer or, you know, invested in something else, it sort of meant I had nothing to lose except, you know, $150 if I didn't cook three meals. So, you know, it wasn't a big commitment to go, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'll give it a try.
So what concerns did you have before you joined the challenge? It sounds like it's like that you weren't going to use it would have been one of them.
That I wouldn't do it, that I wouldn't, if I did it, it wouldn't become a habit, that, you know, 21 days is you know, they say that's the period to form a habit, but it's really easy with anything around cooking or food to slip off that and slip back to the old habits pretty quickly. So that was probably the main concern.
There was just like, am I going to do it? And then am I going to stick with it? Yeah, right. Okay, so what tipped you over from thinking about joining the challenge to actually deciding to sign up?
I was tossing up between this and a Thermomix challenge. And Thermomix were doing it for free. It was a 7-day thing. But it was, you got given a menu and you had to go out and do the shopping. And it all seemed too much effort. And yours seemed simple. you know, there was flexibility. You know, I could use the, I think the first week I used mostly stuff that was already in the fridge anyway. So it was just, it was simple. And what tipped me over was that that money back thing that, you know, I was investing in myself, but it was up to me if I was accountable or not.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. So having that option to, like, I was going to get the money back if I did it. Yeah, amazing. Okay, and so how has doing this challenge changed the way you feel about yourself and about cooking?
I now feel confident back in the kitchen. You stressed a lot about, we know our taste buds. We know what we like. Even if we're not good cooks, we're good eaters. And to be able to trust my instincts instead of having to feel that I can only follow a recipe, because if I don't follow a recipe, I'm going to muck it up. But relearning to trust my instincts. So I know what goes together. You know? Just stick with, keep it simple and just stick with what I know I like to taste. And even within that, I've been willing to try some new things, probably not hugely out of the comfort zone, but at least, you know, a bit of a stretch.
Right. So you've noticed you're more willing now to try things that you wouldn't have maybe even thought to try before. Amazing. What else are you noticing, Chris, now that you've done the challenge?
My husband enjoys my cooking again.
Oh, amazing.
That's probably the biggest thing, because it was sort of like most of the discussion about what we'd eaten would have been, I'm a bit sick of this. Do we have to have this again? So that, I mean, that's probably over-exaggerating the tone of it, but it had become monotonous. And now he's like, this one's a keeper. I like this one. This is really good. And he's not good at eating his veggies. His mum, bless her, she just boils the ass off everything. It's boiled to mush. And steaks are, you know, almost cremated. So he likes everything really well done, and he doesn't like the bland veggies. She spoils him that way. So he won't eat a lot of his veggies unless they're coated in some sort of sauce. And in that first week or so of putting simple sauces on, just putting lemon on his beans, was sort of like a bit of an aha moment. Because then he'd finish his plate of veggies, and it was sort of like having a kid in the house again. You'd look at it and go, you finished them. And all I had to do was put lemon juice on them. So it was such an aha moment. So that's been a big change for both of us. There's no longer any more nights of let's just have something on toast, because now I've got so many things that I can throw together in the same time it would take to cook some toast and throw something on it, you know.
But even when you've had a long day, you're still finding like you've got the energy to make something from what you've got in the house.
Well, I actually look forward to getting into the kitchen. Getting into the kitchen has now become part of the, because I work from home, getting into the kitchen has become part of the, I've clocked off.
Just a quick break to say thank you for listening to Joyful Eating. I don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way this podcast grows is by word of mouth. So if you've received value from my work, I'd be so grateful if you took a few seconds to leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. I appreciate you. Now back to the show.
So it's part of your transition into the evening routine. It's like, work's over. This is my time now. And that's your scene. It's not, you're not waiting until you get on the couch. I love that. Me too, Chris. It's such a good place to be. Hey, it's like, this is my time now.
And it's a mind shift, because nothing else has changed. The commute hasn't changed. It's just how I think about it.
So what's been your favorite part about doing this work, Chris?
Definitely the camaraderie of the group. You could probably run this multiple times and get some really narky participants or people that don't really participate, and it'd be a bit of a fizzer. Compared to this particular group, you've got a couple of really good personalities in there who clicked. They've become, I wouldn't say they've become a clique, clicky per se, but they've embraced other people. There's lots of comments. There's lots of positivity. It's all positive, which, you know, compared to a lot of other things in the world at the moment, is so refreshing that, you know, even if you're sharing, I made an absolute flop, everybody's like, well, you know, good on you for trying. There's that boosting everybody else up. So it hasn't all fallen on you. It's sort of the group pulling everybody up.
Yeah, it's so fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And we've got one person in there who's an absolute hoot. She should be a stand-up comedian because she's that funny. She's also a laughter.
Shout out to Emma. Okay, so was there anything that surprised you about doing the challenge, Chris?
Yeah, actually, it turns out I'm not a bad food stylist.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you are too. Yes, your bowls are beautiful. Your styling is amazing.
And you know what? It's just come from, I've got to take a photo of this, so I'll just spend a bit more time plating it up instead of almost being slap it on and get it on the table. It's just spend a bit more time. Although I learned this morning, don't take too long because the granola went a bit soggy from the yogurt for too long.
Yeah, that's a downside to food styling. So you can get caught up in it and then you're like, oh, actually, this isn't hot anymore. My granola's gone soggy. Amazing. Okay, that's a cool discovery, Chris. I love it. It's fun, isn't it? Like playing around with the visuals. Okay, so who would you recommend? And actually for everyone at home, you don't have to upload a photo if you don't want to. So if you're not like, food photography does not sound like something I'm interested in, that's a bonus. So who would you recommend the challenge to, Chris?
I think anybody who doesn't cook, it's brilliant because there's no assumed knowledge. So if you're starting from absolute never cooked before, it's perfect for you. But also for those of us who are in a rut or, you know, a lot of us empty nesters, you get to a stage where you can't be bothered. If you're not putting the food on the table for a family, it just becomes, why make the effort? And I think the style of the course and the way it's done helps reignite that passion. So, you know, I can't see that there's anybody who wouldn't get something out of it. As long as you're willing to give it a go, and it doesn't matter. I mean, some of the flavor combinations have blown my socks off as amazing, and others I think that's an interesting combination. I don't know how they came up with that. But each to their own. It's, you know, if it works for their taste buds, great. So I'd recommend it to anybody. There's nobody who wouldn't benefit.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat about your experience. Is there anything else you wanted to share before you wrap up?
Just that I'm looking forward to getting to the joyful cooking because we're going to do a few more things in a bit more depth. Some of the stuff around the seasoning and that sort of getting to be a bit better at rescuing things. I think getting into a bit more depth about
problem solving art, yeah,
will be really good. So I'm looking forward to that because in my household we have a dish that's nicknamed 8/8 because that was the date that I made it, the 8th of August, and I followed a recipe to cook this curry and it was the worst thing ever. It tasted disastrous and I tried to fix it and I had no idea how to fix it and it was a mess. I just served it up and the three of us, because my daughter was living with us then, we sat and we ate it and she was such a good eater that she ate probably 2/3 of hers. My husband and I ate about 1/3 of ours before he went, I think I'm going to call for a pizza if you don't mind. I go, yes, please. I'm not going to live that one down.
Next time something like that happens, we're going to have you ready to problem solve. Okay, thanks so much, Chris.
You're welcome.
Your next step to find out the exact life-changing, confidence-boosting framework I taught to Chris, join me for my free live class, all live on Zoom. It's going to be a cooking demonstration. It's called the 4-Minute Healthy Dinner. And seriously, it will be the easiest and most fun cooking class you'll ever attend. So to save your seat, go to thestonesoup.com/demo, or you can check out the link in the show notes. It's going to be super fun. And I'm going to show you literally how you can pull together healthy meals packed with protein and veggies in literally 4 minutes. Like, you'll be able to time me. And it's about the same amount of time as it takes to make a piece of toast and put something on it. So you really want to attend live because that's where all the magic happens. So to save your seat, again, just go to thestonesoup.com/demo or check out the link in the show notes. And I look forward to seeing you in one of the classes.